Alright, time for another draft. Physics.com. DebatePhysics.com also, but I just can't find debate in any kind of reasonable form. Now, the good news is this Despair guy, Despair's lab, even if he does crappy experiments, at least they're quick. There's not a bunch of rhetoric, you know, not a bunch of bullshit. Just trying to do the experiment in a reasonable fashion and, you know, see what it does. Now he's jumping around a lot, which, you know, I wish he would just settle one issue at a time, but whatever. So he's done the experiment that I really shouldn't have to argue. I mean, it's such an overtly stupid concept. I mean, anybody intelligent in the audience should really understand, you know, that it's not possible. That it's a, you know, it's just a textbook pile of crap. They combine two formulas that have no reason to be combined, momentum and kinetic energy. They do derivatives of both and then smash them together and say, this is reality. And it's not even close. And it's on its face stupid. And I've been arguing it for over a year. And yes, there's like two people smart enough in my audience to figure out, yes, it's absolute bullshit. Why are we even discussing it? It's so stupid. And yet, you know, it's like he's really disappointed that it didn't come out the way he was hoping it would come out. You know, I just don't get it. Why do you people think this could make any sense at all? The idea is, it's basically, you know, you have a washing machine and it reverses direction, you know, it agitates. So somehow the clothes get undisturbed by going backwards. That somehow changing the direction undoes the energy and puts all the dirt back in the clothes or something, and everything goes back to normal and quiet. You take energy out of the system somehow by reversing the direction. I mean, it makes no sense. I just don't know how people can't just look at it overtly and say, it can't work that way. It's not physics. So this is the stupid experiment. Sorry, I mean, I don't even know how to describe it without being a little bit insulting. Like, how can you be dumb enough to fall for this? It has no hope of being anything like the truth. And I called it from the very start. As soon as I saw the experiment done by Professor Lewin, I said, bullshit. And then I found the bullshit. I found it in the fact that you could tell that the carts weren't the weights he claimed them to be, because they didn't have the attachments, they didn't have the blobs of clay, blah, 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 blah. So anyway, I mean, the premise is this stupid, okay? So you have a two-mass object, all right? Then you have a one-mass object. And you crash the one-mass in with a certain momentum, 100, right? The idea is, this momentum, okay? It's not fake stuff, it's real stuff, momentum. All right, and you end up with 33, okay, momentum going this way. That is mass times velocity, okay? So instead of going half the speed, it goes two-thirds the speed, okay? So it retains two-thirds the velocity, even though it's twice the mass, okay? So it's basically you're taking an M and a V, and somehow, okay, you're making the M twice as big, okay, and you're still keeping two-thirds of the V, all right, you know, and it really can't do that. You have this certain amount of ink to use, and you can't use any more. I mean, you could think of it so many ways, and you get 33 going this way. All right, so you didn't even use the full 100 in a sense, right, because this one bounces back at 33. So you have an extra 66 free momentums, you know, 0.66 free momentum. Well, it's not really a point. 66 free ones, right? So you go in with 100, okay, and you come out with stuff going in this direction and this direction, totaling 166. And it seems obvious, like anybody with a brain could figure out that, well, I could take advantage of that. I could put a device over here and collect this 133. and I could put a device over here and I could collect this 33, you know, and I could put the 100 back in again and do it over again, and I get to keep the 66, right? The 66 is mine, free energy. I mean, it's free, all right? It's free energy, free energy. I mean, how can you not, you know, I don't have enough room. How can you not see the obvious here? This can't be the truth. It just can't, physical reality can't do this. If it could do this, then we would have free energy, because there's lots of clever engineers who could take advantage of this without much trouble. I would just use a lever, okay, just shoot the energy back the other way, make it completely circular and perpetual, and I would just keep my 100 inside, and I would just keep collecting my 66 every second or so. My 66 free watts. I put 100 watts in, I get 66 free ones out. Put 1,000 watts in, you know, I'll get 660 free watts out. Come on. I have to argue this. So, I mean, part of this discussion has just gotten so stupid. You know, okay, we're having this wave-particle argument. I could sort of understand why you're being a little bit obnoxious, you know, because you can sort of make some kind of game out of your little yin-yangy, wavy thing going through space and being a photon and somehow interference and all that crap. But I've given you the particle description. But yeah, the particle description doesn't mean your wave thingy is completely broken. I mean, it's completely broken because it actually doesn't work. I mean, okay, you can't apply the math and actually get the double slit pattern without doing a completely different math, okay, that doesn't really recognize waves anymore. So you should be able to even concede that the math that actually works doesn't have any waves in it. You know, I don't know what to say. It just seems disingenuous. It seems impossible that nobody with a brain, you know, falls on these videos by accident. No thinking person says, yeah, okay, I get it. That doesn't work. You can't, free energy is not possible. If it was possible, we already have it. And then I pointed out how simple things like levers just, you know, blow the whole thing up. It just can't make any sense. This whole MV squared nonsense. So anyway, it's just so, why do I have to argue this? It just shouldn't be arguable among reasonable people. Reasonable people should understand that now free energy is retarded. Free momentum is free energy. You can't make extra momentum. It just doesn't, just, it's too stupid. You know, you can't do that. All right, so anyway, so Despard keeps trying to find it, and so he's doing this little hot whirl car kind of thing. It seems a reasonable enough experiment. Could put a piece of tape over the seam here, just to be sure. Could do a couple little things to make it better, maybe. Maybe get rid of the track and just have two rails to make sure the cars... But technically, you don't want the cars to hit the rails either, so just technically just do without the track and just, you know, try to push the cars into each other straight, you know. It should be doable. Anyway, it doesn't matter anyway. I mean, the fact is he's getting the results he should get, which is less than half gets out the other side. That's right, the two mass goes with less than half, because you can't get all of the energy out of the one mass car, and the fact is there is a little bit of friction, a little bit of this and that, so you're going to lose a little bit of your momentum. So he's getting exactly the answers I predict you would get, the reasonable answer, as I got in the experiments I did with ballistic pendulums and an air track. No sign of X-ray, but whatever. So hopefully, so he's going to do air track experiments, and I'm not too enthusiastic because, you know, the more you think about air tracks, they provide a real danger. The real danger of an air track is there's an extra source of energy, the wind. Okay, you're blowing a bunch of air, and all you have to do is tilt that cart, and all of a sudden it's going to take advantage of that wind, that extra energy, and it's going to provide a source of energy to propel something. So you really have to make sure nothing tilts. And so you have to make the carts as heavy as possible, and then you have to have more wind, and you know, so I don't think it's a great idea, but whatever. Let people do what their people are going to do. Can't do much about that. So, there's not much to say. Like I said, the experiment proves me right. He said he did it over and over again. He just couldn't get it. It just kept coming out.
There was no two-thirds at all.
Yeah, no two-thirds at all. Just all, every time, it's half the energy. Half or less. Never any more. Okay. So he got another extra timing gate, you know. So he really has invested money. If he's invested in this air track, I mean, that's, you know. I applaud his willingness to sacrifice his monetary comfort for the cause, but I don't know what to say. You know, the ambition is way off in terms of trying to somehow think you're going to prove something that is paradoxically insane on its face. The idea that there's some kind of negative energy, you know, that somehow you can have energy go this way and that somehow I can have energy go that way and undo the energy that went that way. You know, it's like thinking because I shot the bullet this way, the gun going this way makes the bullet less effective. You know, it won't hurt the person as much. I mean, the recoil doesn't undo anything. But it's just such, nobody understands anything. They don't understand the difference between a rubber band and an explosion and all the different ways you can create energy, and that some of them are going in both directions. Explosions, the energy goes in both directions. Yeah. Springs, it goes in both directions. The springs are explosions. So there's probably some other better example. But anyway, doesn't matter. People are just clueless. All right, anyway. So let's move on to something else I found that's kind of funny. Yeah. Quora. Yeah. But anyway, so it has some utility. Let's see, I gotta move something around here. I gotta move this over here. Okay, that's better. I guess we can get rid of me. Well, I might need to draw something. Well, I need to erase first anyway. Alright, so somebody again asked the reasonable question. Is there any experimental evidence that kinetic energy increases 4 times if speed is doubled? Please do not give me mathematical proof of KE equation. Right, so please don't evade the point and talk rubbish. Please provide a link, you know, he's almost saying, to some sort of experimental evidence where you actually collect this bogus bullshit extra energy, where you actually light a light bulb with it or do something with it. Demonstrate that it actually happens, okay? That you take slow, heavy things and you convert it into fast, light things and make a whole bunch of free energy. Yeah, show me the free energy mechanism. I mean, it's on its face. That's what the frickin' thing says, okay? 1/2 mv² says every time you convert from something that's heavy and slow into something that's fast and light, you're making more energy. That's what it overtly says. And the fact that in 350 years... No Einstein has sat there and said, you know what, that doesn't make any fucking sense at all. Why the hell do we think that? Because that doesn't make any fucking sense. If this were true, if this fucking equation were true, then yes, all we would have to do is keep crashing heavy things into light things and we could have free energy and we could all have a wonderful life, blah, 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 blah. So this idiot, the first idiot, Krasvatskar, yes, it's easy, without any thought experiment, without any using proof based on mathematics, blah, 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 breaking distance of cars. Okay, so this one already was looked up, okay? I looked it up, and then Toadie looked it up, you know, And you, everything you find, if you go to the small print, you'll find out it's all simulations. They're all bullshit. They're all based on the mathematics. They don't actually do these experiments. And when they actually do the experiment, it comes out to be, you know, instead of the expectation, you know, of four times, it's 2, 5 or 3. It's never 4. So they don't even get the right answer. And then on top of that, if you're logical, you can figure out that friction doesn't work that way again. You're using friction to measure the energy. And friction, okay, I mean road friction, I shouldn't have to do this either. I really shouldn't have to go over this crap with you people over and over and over again. There should be some reasonable counter argument where you say, okay, here's the counter argument against your friction argument, so blah 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 blah, but I don't get anything like that. Right, I have to erase. All right, I'm back. All right, so, you know, as I have pointed out, and this, you know, this shouldn't be beyond people's understanding, that if you're using friction, okay, to measure, okay, how much energy something has, it's a real poor way to do it if you're just going to measure how far does it travel. The idea is that everything travels forever unless there's a counter force. So that's the Newton thing. You need the counter force. Now, friction isn't a counter force. It's just a sink, okay? It takes your energy away, okay? And the fact is, though, it takes it away based on gravity. Without gravity, you go forever, right? No atmosphere, no gravity, you keep going. That's the idea, because nothing is sinking. Nothing is pulling your energy out. There's no heat sink, so to speak. All right, and so the argument is that friction is so biased because of gravity, okay? I mean, gravity is pressure. The more heavier you are, the heavier you are, right? I mean, you're heavier, you're more massive. That means you're putting more pressure on the ground, okay? And the simple truth is that if you're, you know, traveling at a velocity, you can sort of understand. So let's just take something that weighs the same, and we're just going to give it two different speeds. All right, we're going to give it 50, and then we're going to give it 100. You can understand that at 100 miles an hour, it's going to go much further. It's going to get much further down the track than at 50, because the fact is it's going down the track, its weight, okay, is less when it's going 100 miles an hour, okay, if there was a scale under here, and it's going across the scale at 100 miles an hour, it's going to weigh less than if it goes across the scale at 50. So you can just sort of understand that the slower you're going, the bigger the scale. You know, you could sort of just understand it that way. And it's obviously going to be on the scale longer, which means it's going to have more time to compress the spring. You could sort of understand. So for per foot that you will travel, the faster you're going, the less pressure you're applying to the ground. And the ground is the thing you're sinking. The ground is where you want your energy to go. So obviously the less you're pushing into the ground, the less energy you can put into the ground, the less contact you have. So the faster I make you go, the less contact you have with the ground, the less energy the ground can pull out of you. So yes, the 100 miles an hour will go four times, maybe four times. They haven't done this experiment either. Dispar, I think, got even more than four times, actually, in his experiment. But yeah, it all depends on how much, you know, how much friction you have in your system, how much you're losing to your bearings and all the other stuff, which will make this difference even more of a difference, depending on how clunky the object is you're using. Because obviously bearings work better at higher speed. You know, lots of things get more efficient the faster they're moving. So there's other liabilities for the slow thing when it comes to maintaining its velocity. But I mean, it's just, this isn't that complicated. To understand that friction is not a fair cop, okay? It's not a fair energy cop. It doesn't measure energy fairly. Okay, it gives a huge advantage to fast things. Ground friction, huge advantage to the fast things. The slower you're going, the more you're going to lose, the quicker you're going to lose it. okay? Because your weight is allowing your energy to be consumed. The longer this arrow, the more of this arrow gets consumed. It's not, you know, it's a good enough explanation. You should be able to get it. I mean, I shouldn't have to talk to you like little kids or something, explain everything, should I? No, I shouldn't have to. Shit. All right, so anyway, all the answers, so there's no links on this. Obviously, the question was ignored, as it always is. So there's been more than one person. I give credit to at least there's a few thinkers out there who really want to see this thing. They want to see evidence of this crap, and they ain't seeing none. Now, it'd be nice if they knew this channel existed, but, you know, too bad. Anyway, so that's bullshit answer number one, the braking thing. It's bullshit. Another guy brings up the heat of the brake pads, which would be another, that'd be an interesting way to do the experiment, because it's a little bit better, because you're not dependent on gravity now, right? The gravity's not going to have anything to do with it, so to speak, beyond the fact that your tires are still going to be able to skid and do certain things, where the faster you go, the less contact you're going to have with the ground, blah, blah, blah. But the half mass, doing the half mass thing, certainly I think you could get the same heat from the half mass going twice as fast. The 10-ton train going 5 miles an hour versus the 5-ton train going 10 miles an hour, they're going to create the same heat, okay? Here's a few ideas how you could go about demonstrating. So why should somebody have to demonstrate it? It's a 350-year-old theory. Why should somebody have to go out and demonstrate this? Why don't you show me it taking 4 times more gas to go 60 miles an hour than 30 miles an hour? Why don't you show me that? It should already be an experiment you've already done. You know, where you have an electric motor and you want to double the speed of the electric motor and you have to put 4 batteries on to make double the speed. Why don't you show me those experiments? Oh, that's right, because they don't exist, okay? And your theory's a pile of shit. Oh, Jesus. Before we begin, we have to agree on what kinetic energy is. It's a formula, fuckhead. Okay, and, you know, 1/2 mv². That's what it is. Oh, so there's no even point when they're this evasive. We have to agree on what it is. What it is a fabrication, a fantasy, a fable, a story told 350 years ago about some magical free energy horseshit. And it was free energy back then. It was called out as free energy back then, and here it still is, even though you have shit for evidence. Okay. There are a number of simple experiments to test this. Well, then why haven't they been done in 300 years? For example, you could find a flat road leading to a base of a hill. So again, use friction. Again, just too stupid. All right, and then going up a hill. And the going up a hill will show you nothing, because again, you're just making your gravity argument again. So you're in the gravity twice as long, okay, but you go 4 times higher. So what? It's only twice as long in the gravity. You're only in the gravity twice as long. The gravity is something you're collecting. So again, you don't understand gravity. So there's no point in having the conversation, because you don't even understand what gravity is. It's a completely time-dependent force. I mean, oh, shit, over and over and over. So here we go with the clay crap. Okay, so very easy experiment that you can do at home. Well, why don't you show me the videotape of somebody doing it? Why do I, again, 350 years, you can't, you know, 100 years of video, nobody could video this critical experiment? Take a solid, drop it from a height into clay. Then take the same object and drop it from twice the height to a different part of the clay. No, you don't want twice the height. You want 4 times the height. Okay, you'll see the indent in the clay is exactly 4 times deeper. Not from twice the height, it's not. All right, then it is for the lower height drop. So he doesn't even get it right. You have to go 4 times higher to double the velocity. And then when you've doubled the velocity, it's supposed to be 4 times the energy. So you have to go four times higher. So we can't even describe the experiment correctly. All right. You will see that the indent of the clay is exactly four times deeper. So you will see this. So he can't show us somebody doing this. And again, he has the clay things going all the way through the clay. If you drop it three times the original height, you'll see it go exactly nine times further into the clay, and so on. And you've proven that where? Nowhere. So he just draws a picture of something he claims happens, and that's it. And again, where did we establish that clay doesn't also have a friction problem? You know, where it cheats. Okay, where it gives an advantage to velocity. Is there any proof that it doesn't do that? I mean, we're still dependent, again, on partially, you know, using gravity. And gravity has the 4-to-1 bias, so it'd be better to turn the clay the other way. You know, I mean, do it this way. Put the clay this way. Let the ball go down the ramp. Double the velocity and put the clay in without gravity assist. Yeah, we still have gravity pushing down, which is no good, but whatever. Can't get rid of gravity in some experiments, unfortunately. All right, so again, just bullshit, right? I mean, that's just bullshit. Yeah, I've been thinking about this a while, and there might be an easy demonstration for you to do at home. Some more stuff for people to do. So no evidence that science or physics has ever established this truth with a good, reliable experiment. And this one, you're like obviously saying, what the fuck, you think I'm an idiot? Yeah, you have four times the water on top of this little spout. Duh. Yeah, it's four times the weight, you idiot. I could figure out, this is, you know, if this was 100 grams, this is 200 grams, this is 300 grams, this is 400 grams. Duh. I mean, fuck. You're just like, fuck, this is too stupid. Alright, it even drops out of a thought experiment. So, the guy is explicitly asking for one thing, and they just keep doing something else. I mean, it's just, let's assume that the Ke of an object is a function of mass and its velocity. Well, it's a function of it with a half and a square in it. So it's not exactly a balanced function, idiot. All right, so there's just no point. What is he saying here? Two balls of the same mass will heat the wall twice as much. So this isn't even a thought experiment in the sense that you have no evidence that any of this has ever been done or tested. So what's the point? You can use a calorimeter. One of the devices has paddles in water. In an insulated tub. Yeah, and again, if you use something that's falling in gravity as your, you know, as what you're measuring. But yes, theoretically, okay, if you had traveling velocities, that is some sort of guaranteed velocity crashing into, like, you know, it'd be better to do it with voltages or some other wattages or something. Because then you'll really see that you're not going to, you know, twice the watts isn't going to give you four times the output in calories. Then you can see how much hotter it's capturing the water using different speeds. Okay, so again, no evidence that it's been done. No evidence, no experimental evidence that you've demonstrated that something going twice as fast, not something falling from four times the height, something going twice as fast. See, if you tie a string to something that's four times higher, and you allow it to fall in the gravity, it doesn't fall. It's not free falling. It's being restrained by your string, so it's in the gravity much longer. You can sort of understand that it's in the gravity much, much longer because you're stopping it from falling, gaining velocity. It never goes twice as fast. Do you understand? If I drop something from four times higher, I let something fall from four times higher, it actually does create four times the energy of something dropping one time because it never goes faster. It never goes twice the velocity. All right, so you're not really measuring something going twice the velocity. So the idea is to tie the string or to have the impact with a car that's going 50 miles an hour you know, or any device, going twice as fast. You know, some 10-ounce thing, it hits a plate, it's going twice as fast. The energy goes into the plate or the lever, and it produces the energy that turns the wheel. So it has to be a way you're doing it where you're actually measuring something going twice as fast. Dropping something from four times higher on a string where it's not free falling will not be going twice as fast. It amazes me that these are the people they can do all this matrix math and all these tensors and all this bullshit, and they can't do this little tiny bit of logic to understand the difference between something free falling and something falling on a string. Shit. They can't figure out that doing this uses more energy than doing this. They can't figure that out. That I'm actually using more energy if I do this. That gravity is imposing more force against me than if I do these. Shit. Okay. Experiment. Okay, lift an object to a height h and drop it. Measure the time it takes to hit the ground. Repeat the experiment different heights h. We already know this part, moron. So somebody didn't ask you to tell me how fast something goes when it's four times higher. We already know that. Oh, it's just amazingly stupid. So it's, where's the experiment here? Okay. So there's no experiment. Okay. We assume the constant acceleration due to gravity. So this is just absolutely nothing. There's no experiment here. This says absolutely nothing. Yes, you double the velocity. Doubling the velocity or increasing the amount of distance you cover does not mean you have four times the energy. You know. There was an error loading more items. Well, that's kind of poopy. So let me try reloading the page, because there's just, it goes on and on and on, and nobody responds to the question by providing an actual experiment. All right, so using a variation of Galileo's inclined plane method, make one plane that causes the ball to roll at a reference speed. Yeah, so again, we already know this. We can get twice the speed. So we get twice the speed, and then what do? Oh, and then you let friction tell you the right answer. Oh, wrong again. It's just amazing. Driving a car tells you it takes longer to accelerate to 60 to 70 miles an hour than from 10 to 20. Well, the reason why that is because of your gear ratios. Retard again. If you had the same gear ratio, then you would feel exactly the same kind of lag, okay, going from any acceleration. But the fact is yes, 60 to 70, because of the gear ratio, all right, it feels like it's harder, but it really isn't. You're not using more fuel, all right? So, again, false notion, all right? It has nothing to do with reality. It has to do with gears. All right, sure, there's plenty of experimental evidence. Okay, so here we go, right? I mean, we know there's not plenty of experimental evidence, right? The simplest way is to make a graph of speed versus height of falling objects. So how is that going to be evidence? Four times the height only doubles the speed. So there's no four in there. Double the speed isn't four times the speed. All right, the gravitational potential energy increases linearly with distance. Says you. Okay, if you measure the speed of an object falling from different distances, this is an easy test. How does it test anything? It's going twice the velocity. How does that prove four times the energy? How does twice the velocity prove four times the energy? This is a physics lab experiment that could be done in any high school. And again, how will it prove the existence of this extra energy? Oh, that's right, it won't. How will it prove that levers, by your theory, aren't free energy machines? I mean, the fact that something's going twice the speed, how is that equal four times the energy? Okay, But your question only makes sense if the term kinetic energy is first defined. So another guy is saying we have to define what kinetic energy is. It's a formula. It's a stupid, idiotic piece of crap. It's a theory. It's an argument. Some idiot argued, okay, that somehow this thing called energy isn't momentum. It's this other thing, this mv squared stuff. And that's what it was at first, mv squared. It didn't even have the half. So it got really crazy numbers. There's just no point. Well, just get into your car and drive 50 kilometers and brake. Measure the distance covered during braking. Yes, and if you do that, you're not going to get a 4. You're going to get something like a 3. And if you have any kind of brain, you can figure out that this has to do with my contact with the road. How much energy I dissipate is completely dependent on how much the road will take. Oh, yes, one experiment to compare the minimum braking distance. So there we go again. So we know those frickin' arguments are bullshit. Okay, so I don't know. This is a link, but it's... can't find the page. Road Safety Charity. The Road Safety Charity? Too weird. Yeah. All right, and donate to Road Safety. Anyway. Actually giving people tickets for speeding might be a good idea. You know, ones they don't plea bargain down. You know, actually giving them points off their license when they go 90 miles an hour through a residential street. God, I'm thinking of putting up a sign in the front yard, you know, that I can pop up or that drops down or something, you know, with my middle finger pointing up. You know, like just bong. You know, because these assholes drive down the street, you know, at whatever, 70 miles an hour with like 4,000 watt speakers in the car playing whatever. You know, it's usually Mexican crap. You know, I'm just saying. And you're like, what the fuck? How are these people allowed to exist in our civilization? You're just like saying, how did they get away with this? And one of them has a beautiful purple car, and they do it over and over again. It's like, everybody should know this purple car. I mean, purple's really unusual color for a car. You're just like, yeah, there is no civilization, because this shouldn't be possible. You shouldn't be allowed to do this over and over and over again. I mean, this is... I really would be okay if they passed a law saying just put them in front of a firing squad. I mean, if you're this fucking rudely stupid... I mean, this is like... This is really just... It's really... I can't really figure out how it's any different than somebody thinking it would be okay to show up at your dinner table and... You know, drop your trousers and shit right in the table. I mean, what the fuck could some asshole think? Anybody would say, oh, you're so fucking cool? No, they're not gonna... The people walking their dogs down the sidewalk, they're not gonna think that. You're so fucking cool. You know. Just, you're just like, what the fuck? I'm sorry, but I just... I mean, I did live a privileged life, okay? I mean, the fact is, I was cutting a lot of slack to all this hysteria about the evil foreigners, because I didn't realize how, oh, wait a minute. You know, they're a lot worse than I thought they were. Yeah, I mean, how fucking rude and stupid could you fucking goddamn be? I mean, it's so rude and so stupid. It's just dangerous and obnoxious. I mean, it's both. Fuck. Anyway. Yeah, sorry. Now I'm distracted. I probably should take a pause. Get undistracted. You know, just too stupid. Oh, speaking of distractions, this guy really goes south. So he's saying asking for experimental evidence is great. That's the basics of physics, blah, 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 all that crap. And then he says, actually, these days, we have a very resourceful North Korean dictator experimenting on this, toying with ballistic missiles. He gets into all this shit and somehow... All right, so his argument is that because we're watching these ballistic missiles fall, that somehow we should be able to... We're doing the experiment. Well, I mean, it's not exactly easy to collect the kinetic energy from a ballistic missile crashing into the ground. So, you know, unless you have the device that does that, you know, this is also stupid. Okay, yes, you can measure the work needed to stop an object at different speeds. Yes, that would be the way to do it. How do you do that? Okay, pick a method for measuring the work that you like. Oh, okay, that's really easy. The method will be, I'll stick my finger out and I'll just let things hit the end of my finger and I'll say how much energy it is. Okay, for instance, you could use an object to run a generator and measure the energy that gets generated. Well, why hasn't physics done that? Yes, that would be the way to go. Put a generator on the 10-ton train going 5 miles an hour and generator on the train going 5 miles, you know, 10, the 5-ton train going 10 miles an hour. And see if they generate the same amount of total watts. Yeah, that would be really great. But no one's done it. All right. I mean, no one's even done this simple experiment, right? I mean, just run the 10-ton train, okay, and see how much gas it uses. And the fact is you're going to find out it uses the same amount of gas as the 5-ton train going 10 miles an hour is going to use the same amount of gas as the 10-ton train going 5 miles an hour. All right. Do you not know any way to think of classical kinetic energy except as proportional to the square of the velocity? So K increases 4 times is double. It's the definition. Yes, exactly. And the whole point of the question is, does this definition have any evidence supporting it? Does this idiotic definition of energy have any experimental evidence demonstrating it's actually a correct definition? Is this water wet? You're saying the water is wet. Okay, now I have lots of experiments proving water is wet. I can show my hair being wet. I can show somebody else being wet. I can show wet, slimy fish. I can show things being wet from water. Why can't you show something being kinetic energied? Oh, shit. All right, so here we go with the clay again. Obviously, imagine two equal-sized soft clay balls flying towards each other at equal speed. Well, what about the Mythbusters, where they take the clay and put it in between two objects, okay, and then smash them at 100 miles an hour and 50 miles an hour, respectively, it wasn't those actual speeds, but twice the velocity. And they smash the clay, and what does it come out? No 4 times, nowhere even close, just 2 times, that's it. Twice the compression, twice the speed, twice the compression, no 4 times. Some great answers and some not so good ones. Let's eliminate some. Well, he doesn't eliminate shit. I mean, it's 2 comments here. Dropping a ball into clay and measuring the dimples. Where is your evidence that the depth or volume of the dimples is linearly related to the impact energy? Well, at least he brings up my point. Where did they prove clay is a great energy measurer? I mean, it obviously goes in different directions, which is problematic. And obviously, it's dissipating the energy ultimately as all heat. So it leaves you a footprint, but is it an accurate footprint? Is the footprint bigger than it should be or smaller than it should be? Sure, it involves a high-speed camera and the ability to customize power loads in a .22 caliber bullet and someone wanting to be shot. Ha ha ha, he's making a joke. But the fact is these experiments have been done too, and there's no evidence of the 4 times the capacity to do work. So you haven't even, you know, even if you shoot a bullet at twice the speed and half the mass, you won't be able to make it do twice as much real work. That is real movement of real matter in the universe. Seriously, dude, do you think the formula we derive by guesswork rather than empiricism? You didn't even use guesswork. So again, he's asking you for evidence, you don't have it, and you're just basically saying, well, don't you think we did have evidence? You know, the whole argument is you don't have evidence, you retard. I just can't believe. The simplest direct experiment approach with no reliance on any formula is based on Kurt's answer. The method below relies on direct equivalence of thermal energy and kinetic energy. So there is no direct equivalence in the sense that you haven't done the experiment by tying a string to a 10-ton train going 50 miles an hour or a 5-ton train, you know, just a 50-pound object going, you know, whatever, 10 miles an hour, and a 10-pound thing going 5 miles an hour. If you just tied the string to those things and saw their pulling energy and did your turning, you'll find that it's only the same amount of energy. Your answer will not be, because you won't be sitting there tying a string to something dropping 4 times the height. It's not dropping 4 times the height. It's dropping 1 times the height and 1 times the height. And one, you know, it's dropping much slower than the real free fall, twice the velocity. It never has twice the velocity. So what do you think the difference is between kinetic energy and momentum? There is no KE or PE thing that exists independent of the mathematics. So how could this even be? So he's basically saying, the mathematics is physics. The physical world has nothing to do with the mathematics. So don't expect an answer in the physical world, because what does that have to do with physics? Physics is math. Physics isn't physics, you know, the physical universe. It's just physical mathematics. Yes. Oh, it's just... How fast or far a bullet or cannonball makes its bigger move, its target move. How fast or how far a bullet or cannonball makes its target move, how much force is applied to the target, will increase only in relation to the mass times the speed, momentum, not kinetic energy. So then why are we talking about kinetic energy? So this is basically a guy who supports kinetic energy who's conceding it doesn't have anything to do with reality. Amazing. Well, the amount of energy that is released or given off as heat or sound. So now he's pretending that there's the secret sound and heat thing. There's a whole bunch of energy that's released and all this deformation. So this is back to Physics Girl's retarded explanation for where all the energy went. When you do the fast thing into the slow thing, you lose half the energy. And so they have to come up with some silly place you lost it all. So he's not explaining the extra energy. He's explaining the loss of half the energy in the small thing versus big thing. So obviously that's not the free energy part. The free energy part is the big thing into the little thing. That's the one you need to explain, Dumbo. Oh, God. Second year uni physics. So, yeah, even after 2 years, he's already an idiot. You know, rendered illogical with just 2 years. All right, there's no such, this is such a load of hogwash. Wee little bullshit. Time doesn't go faster. Oh, well, whatever. Different subject, retard. That would be impossible. Okay, let's see. Is heat energy basically just kinetic energy? Oh, so these were different questions that got answered. So they're throwing different questions now. All right, so we won't bother with all that crap. We've done enough anyway, just to point out no fucking evidence. So 350 years, they haven't compiled an experiment, a reliable experiment, you know, besides this stupid clay thingy, dropping shit into clay. So besides that, there's absolutely nothing demonstrating this crap. And I guess you could argue that the Joule experiment is a version of it, but again, that's the dropping stuff with a string attached. It's not the same thing, okay? You're not in the gravity twice as long. You're in the gravity 4 times as long. Yeah. I mean, if I drop it this far on a string and I'm pulling a propeller, it'll fall at the same rate that the one dropping 4 times. It's the same rate of decline. The velocity never increases. And the propeller just keeps turning 4 times longer. I mean, this is not complicated, fuckers. if you have a string attached and you jump out of an airplane and the airplane has a big wind of stuff that you have, the string has to pull off of, and that's creating tension and it's stopping you from going faster, you could understand that, oh yeah, I can't fall any faster because the goddamn spool won't go any faster. And it'll take you much longer to hit the ground. Fuck. Yeah, people really, you're really just so fucking stupid. Shit, this is so, this is getting, endeavor to persevere, that's what I have to do. Got no choice, so I will endeavor to persevere and keep trying to provoke in you people some little shred of honesty where you admit, well, we really should have evidence. If we're going to make a claim that something exists, we really should be able to produce some pretty good evidence. Fuck. Something better than Brozosian clown video. I mean, he's just, every video is just, so now he's wearing a wig or something. You know, it's just such a, so we'll just watch Disbar videos because, yes, they're just experiments. That's all we want is the fucking experiments. All the shenanigans and antics. Oh, it's pathetic. So anyway, till the next time and such and so forth and whatnot. This has been at draftphysics.com, debatephysics.com also, but I mean, there's just nothing to debate. They have no experimental evidence and they don't have any logic. They won't explain to me how friction works different than what I stated. That it's not a good way to measure something's energy because obviously faster things are losing less per foot to friction. It's just a fact. Shit. All right. It really is depressing. Depressing to live on such a brain evacuated desert of a planet. I mean, it's just an intellectual desert. God. I like being alone, though. So, I would, sort of like a desert, but, But you see, that's it. It's not a desert with, a quiet desert. There's a bunch of noise, from the noisemakers who keep saying things that aren't true. So they keep disturbing my peace with their false accusations. So that makes it not a very good analogy. But yeah, I really would like being the last man on Earth. Because you people suck. I can't make you into mannequins soon enough to suit me. Anyway, till the next time and such and so forth and whatnot.